out of our element. We feel a little more cozy in that corner over there. And I was telling Kimberly, the new godparent to Winnie, this morning that I will be Paul Schaefer and this is David Letterman. Okay?
Wow.
I will maybe say a couple things, but I may just be up here for support and I may not say a lot.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So, we on? Are we good? I need this thing closer. We're good? Okay, cool. It's kind of a beta test for us, for Marnie and I. We meet daily at our house to have coffee, and sometimes that's 10 minutes, 15 minutes, sometimes it's an hour and a half. It sort of depends, dependent upon our individual schedules and dependent upon what happens. What we found, we center first in prayer, right? Because as the day begins, you have all kinds of things on your mind, right? One of us can have 10 things to talk to the other person about. Marnie could have 10 financial envelopes she needs to pull from that day, right? And to wake up in the morning and try to sort of mesh is really tricky. So what we find out is that if we sit down and pray first and then go from there, it's great, right? So if we pray and then maybe even we center on the word, center on a book, center on a teaching, and then we move into chatting about what's happening for the day, it works a lot better for us. And some of the times by the time we prayed and done some teaching, half of those things have already fallen off because our hearts are more peaceful and we realize, oh, that's 10 things today is probably too many. I think we can do 5. We've got peace and grace to do 5. Do I need to move this, Rick, or is it kind of weird? It's okay. All right, good. I'm not used to this guy. So a lot of things happen at our table. Some of them are very profound. Some of the times we have one of our shorter meetings and God drops a wonderful love bomb on us right there in the morning, some sort of truth, some sort of breakthrough. So I encourage you guys to consider doing the same, especially husbands and wives. Where can you, if you can't do it daily, can you do it weekly? Where can you get on the same page? And getting on the same page is getting on the same page as Jesus is on, right? That's our whole goal, is this kind of unified in Christ, right? Because everything in life wants to pull us away. As single people, we know that as well, right? Everything wants to get in the way of what God desires for our day. And many times there's our heart and what God's speaking to us, and there's our lives. And there's a huge chasm in between, right? And our lives tend to be wanting to pull us away from what's on our hearts and from what God has for us. So, little intro about us, because I can't assume that everybody knows us here. I think we're pretty close to knowing everybody. But we came on staff to be pastors here kind of Easter time 2015. It was a relaunch for our church, and we had the opportunity to come on as worship pastors. That's something that we never expected, and it's been fantastic. There's been a lot of growing, but doors and windows have opened up in our hearts, in our lives, in our growth. We've been married. We were high school sweethearts. We've been married since the 80s. Okay, so
a lot of hairspray.
Yes, for the younger people that we hang around, please don't do the math and find out that I could be your dad, okay? Just hang out, okay? Just be cool. All right? I'm not trying to be. So, high school sweethearts. I grew up loving music a lot. And when I met Marnie, her family was musical, and it became my opportunity to be involved in music, learn how to play, kind of playing worship songs. Over the years, we've had bands, we've done college tours, we played clubs, L.A., we've done all kinds of stuff together, but the past couple years, well, actually, really only a year, we've had a new band that we started called the Holly Bells. So, thanks. So, Holly Bells is this entity that is kind of, it's a triangle. It's Jesus and Marnie and I and any of our friends that want to play with us. But the goal of and the focus of the Holly Bells is intimacy and encounter with God. We really desire for people to take the next step in their relationship with God, right? So the next step of closeness. And a lot of that has to do with identity in Christ, being identified in Him, knowing that who we really are is, it's held in God's heart. He really knows who we are, who we are made to be. And in knowing Him, we become more who we're intended to be. So we had a record that we put out in August of 2016 called Modern Psalms. And we did a launch weekend that was called Magnify Weekend. And I tried to book as many concerts in 3 days as I could. My goal was 10, but I would have done 20. we got 7 out of it. So we did 7 shows in 3 days. And
yes. I passed out at the end.
Yeah, it was pretty intense pace. But sort of the heart, we called it Magnify, basing it on Psalms 34:3, which is, Magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt His name together. So kind of the idea of magnifying is intention, you know, an intentional focus on the Lord, right? As we focus on Him, we begin to see how great He is and see Him for His greatness, or at least get a touch of who He is. So, trying to develop a framework for our band and for this sort of launch, and two words that came up were the idea of hosting and partnering, and found out that some missionaries like to use those terms, you know, because they have host churches that host them and support them. And the idea of partnering is partnering for the cause of Christ, right? When you give to a missionary, you're not giving them money. You're giving money to them to do what the Lord has done, even though you might be taking care of them. So our launch, a big part of our launch was no money. So our Magnify weekend, zero money involved. All I wanted to do was see, can the relationships work? Can friends join together and pull this thing off, right? Can we do it in a backyard? Can we do it in a living room? Can we partner with a church? Could we do a coffee house? We tried to do a coffee house, and it actually got bounced out of there. The owner's wife found out that we were Jesus people, and she said, no way. So we had to, like, do it somewhere else in that town. So it's very interesting. But what we found out in the process is, yes, that works. People will partner and they will host for the cause of Christ. And the idea of encouragement and people taking next steps, those were happening too.
Yes.
So we spent the last year kind of developing this format of doing shows, and what it sort of morphed into was this idea of living room sessions. So doing house concerts, and that's where it really came alive. A house show's really interesting because it's very intimate. You're in somebody's home. You're with the hosts, right? So you're hoping that you're kind of bringing a blessing into their house. You're partnering with them to see what's on their heart. And then ultimately you're seeing what the Holy Spirit might be doing. That's really kind of the whole fuel behind the thing, is what does the Holy Spirit want to do on that night? So we went from beginning the year to mostly just kind of playing our music featured on our record, but as we began to do house shows, it started to develop into this multi-expressional experience. What does that look like, Marnie? Multi-expressional experience.
Okay, wait, we have... So backing up, when I said that I was exhausted about that weekend, there was like trillions and zillions of fruit and blessing in Jesus, so it was worth it.
Yeah.
Let me just say that. Yeah. And I just did. And what was your question? Because I already forgot it.
Describe some of the expressions, kind of the the things that happen in house shows.
In house shows, okay. So it was really cool because we all, it was either the hosts would have dinner or it would be a potluck style where the people, they'd invite friends and neighbors or people from church. And we would have a meal, and then the Holly Bells, we might like put a little worship in to start. And then we would go through our songs. And it was just amazing to see people reacting. And like there was a lot of prayer and healing that was needed. Like we would meet a lot of people that were going through either something physically or spiritually. Yeah. And there was like people would give us words and dreams and visions, and they wouldn't even know us, and it would just be right on. Like one of them one time was to Paul. You can tell that story.
Sure.
Okay. Here we go.
So kind of the goal of these house shows in the Expressions is sort of getting to this point of ministry. It's like we come in and maybe we do some church songs that everybody knows.
Yeah.
We kind of get on the same page. We move into the original music, start expressing some psalms and doing some things. Marnie has kind of some expression that she does that's usually free form in that environment that sort of shifts things a lot of times, shifts the emotions, shifts the vibe of the room. And then
yes.
Depending on how interactive the people are that we're with, sort of what the community's like, we try to leave it really open, and maybe somebody will share a scripture. Somebody will raise their hand and share a testimony. Mm-hmm. Somebody will ask for prayer. And the eventual sort of landing place is we get to this point of ministry, like hands-on prayer for people. So mm-hmm. we go through this whole journey to get to this point where things are really fertile for the Lord to do something. So back to the dream. There's been three distinct dreams that have been shared with me. They're all interrelated. The first one it happened before we even launched our record. We're at Kenny and Diana's house. And if you've been to Kenny and Di's, there's you come in the door, and there's a little left into the kitchen, and there's a little kind of hallway in there connecting the family room. So I was coming from the family room into the kitchen, and somebody came in the door, turned the corner, and came, and we met face to face. And it was this guy, and he looked at me, and he goes, "Hey, where do I know you from?" And I look at him, I'm like, "I don't know. Where do I know you from?" So we kind of start bantering back and forth, you know, find out, oh, he lives in San Clemente, oh, he does that. And we're like, oh, I wonder if I surf with somebody you know. We're just looking for something. And then he goes, "Oh, by the way, I'm so-and-so's fiancé." Oh, okay. Well, at least I know who you are. We couldn't figure out where we knew each other. So went through the night. I think it was a Taco Tuesday, which is hang out, have food, testimonies. So later in the night, the whole thing's done. He comes up to me and he goes, "Okay, I got it. Figured it out." He said, he goes, "You were in my dream a year ago. You were the guy in my dream." I go, "Okay, what's that? You know, what's that all about?" So he says, the first thing he says, he goes, "Are you involved in music in any way?" I'm like, "Well, yeah. You know, do you play guitar?" You know, so he goes, "Well, I had a dream, and you were standing on a mountaintop playing guitar, worshiping the Lord." Right? So you walk away from that, and you go, "That was interesting. I don't know what it meant back then." I think there's some interpretations that have come after some other dreams have come that have connected to that. But it's very interesting how the Lord...
We are going to go to Israel, and there's a mountaintop there that we're going to do worship on.
That's true.
I'm just throwing that in there.
Yeah. So, the Holly Bells, modern psalms, being pastors, being a part of this community, all of those relationships started to become a very fertile environment to magnify the Lord. Joining together with people was really cool. seeing what the Lord had on his heart for evening, some of the times very profound, what he had intended for people. And it's amazing to see the depth of care, you know, that the Lord has for each of us and how he is so detailed. So via prayer and kind of trying this thing out, we felt led to take it on the road. We felt led, like, we want to take this thing out of the area. I've had this thing in my mind for a while. Like, I want to go coast to coast. I want to make it to Florida or Boston, doing shows in between. And
we're going to wait on Florida just for a little bit.
Well, yeah, yeah. So that hasn't happened yet, but what did happen is very naturally something started to develop heading north. So we had invitations in Sacramento, invitations in Napa, San Luis Obispo, Southern Oregon, and Washington. And kind of how the whole thing worked is you have to get one gig to get all the rest of the gigs. So I had about 10 conversations going, but until somebody finally says, yes, you know. And the funny thing is our first gig was Thursday night in Washington. You know, it just was so this weird, unassuming, just kind of odd time. Like, okay, Lord, that's interesting. We're going to be in Washington on a Thursday night. And the whole tour filled in around that. Mm-hmm. So, there was this idea that came about in this process as I talked to a few different people. One of them was a mentor of ours. There's a couple that are missionaries and church planters. And when I shared some things that we were involved in, she had said, yes, that's it. Take church to the people. That's what I'm hearing God say. Take church to the people. And I had put that little remark in my notes, and I gave Brad and Allie my notes because I wanted to see kind of what they thought. And so Brad and I talked a little bit about the take the church to the people, you know, kind of defining that. I mean, this trip, we weren't, as pastors, we weren't going out promoting faith worship community when we were out there. In this case, the front or the moniker was with the Holly Bells. But ultimately,
it's kind of the same thing because we're all them. It's yes. A big body of Christ.
It's a big body. Yeah. What's the intent? The intention of
it's all
any,
the same.
Yeah. Any church is glorifying the Lord. So, yeah. So, just to kind of make that clear. But kind of the flow of that is this responding to God's call. The idea of each person in our community in the name of Christ walking into the vision that God has for them, right? There's things that God puts on our hearts, things that sometimes we could even say, feel like I've been made to do this, right? So the idea that Brad and I talked about was many times we're in this waiting situation where we feel like we're prepping, right? I'm preparing. Someday I'm going to get to that thing. And it's kind of like having kids. There's never going to be the perfect day, right? It's like you, at some point in time, if you're going to have a kid, you got to have a kid. So you're never going to be completely prepared. Yeah, that would help. So the idea is to actually walk into it and do it. And there's no waiting for the perfect invitation. Sometimes there's mission trips that help us to walk into that. But the point is what's on your heart and what's stirring you, right? And there were a lot of questions that still needed to be answered when we hopped in our car and started driving north, right? I mean, my first gig, there was a total misunderstanding between myself and the host to where I drove away completely baffled. You know, just like, that was weird. And it was a misunderstanding financially, which made it even more weird. Okay? But
also, first show, it was really cool because our friends, it was one of my friends from high school, one of my best friends from high school that hosted us, and her husband's a pastor, a youth pastor, but he wants to start his own church. And they invited some non-Christians, and one of the things that a couple said after our first show was, we had no idea you could have fun and be a Christian. Like, it was really cool. And then we got to pray for them and their daughter, and there's just a lot of ministry going on, and it was really amazing to see the Holy Spirit, like, move. But anyway, Amen. Go ahead. Go with your story. I remember that from the first show. There was something just special like that for every show. Like, we just kind of get our mind blown, and then, pew, there it goes.
Yeah, and there was, I've got double mics. There was this sort of underlying idea under the fun that when we talked to our hosts about them after that evening, that potentially there was also this suggestion that, oh, I didn't know you can have fun without alcohol too, right? That this was a clean environment, but it was a rich environment. I think they were really, really blown away. And that couple, we prayed for them and prayed over them, and it was really funny because we just kind of got in the flow of prayer, and there was a little pause, and usually I look to Marnie, like, look to her, like, maybe I led the prayer off, I'd look to her and go, like, what do you got? Like, you ready to press in more? And the lady opened her eyes, and she looked at us, and she goes, amen. Which was like, okay, maybe this is the first time somebody's ever prayed for her, or maybe she feels very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But either way, it was really cool. Yes. So I'm going to bounce into that prayer idea real quick. And usually we open up an invitation to prayer and hardly anybody comes, right? So we go, hey, we really want to pray with you guys tonight. If anybody's got anything, let us know. Come see us. So the show ends.
Maybe one or two people.
Maybe one or two people.
Not for as many as were there.
Somebody will say, yeah, I like prayer. Sometimes somebody will speak up. So what we do is we literally go to every single person in the room. So we just go after people. We just go, hi, my name's Paul. What's your name? Hey, how can we pray for you? What's going on? You know, we talk to them. And usually in a room of people that are sitting back saying, I don't need prayer. You know, it's like, oh, I've got diabetes and my liver doesn't work. I'm 21 and I have a degenerative joint disease where my joints are stretching out. Family saying, oh, I've got a daughter that's going to move out of our house, and we're really afraid for our daughter. She's moving to Orange County. She happens to live with Jay now, and Jay and Andrea. You know, so,
yeah.
You know, the needs are huge, actually. They're really huge. So it's a real honor to go to people and support them in prayer. So,
and one young lady didn't have to go into surgery, so we just thank God for that.
Yeah.
So that was a miracle.
It was a heart valve.
There was more than one, but
repaired.
That was really amazing.
Yeah. So wrapping up on the idea of taking the church to the people, there's a statement, and I think this may have come from Kathy Lenz, but it's sitting up on my workbench. It says, where vision is strong and clear, it naturally pulls everything in a life into alignment with it. So the idea is that as you step into the vision, things are going to line up. Sitting back and doing nothing, you never have the chance for the alignment. You never have a chance for the pull. You got to step into it. So as we were praying about our tour, we decided to call it Transformation Tour. Transformation being a dramatic change in form or appearance. And this is a key point, not incremental, right? Not like this getting better, better, better idea. I'm getting better a little at a time. That can happen. But the idea of transformation is change coming with little or no resemblance of the past configuration or structure, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Sounds like a miracle to me. Sounds like the way Jesus works. So when
I like to call it a death drop into Jesus' arms. You just go like this.
Does everybody know what a death drop is?
Do you guys know?
Oh.
Yeah. Like if you had a group of friends and you're like, okay, catch me. Not like a stage dive, but this way. The other way.
Yeah. I remember it from grade school. There's the bars that you could climb up on and we'd all sit on them. So we'd climb on top of the bars and it'd sit up like 6 feet in the air. And the idea is you let go and you go backwards and you swing straight down. Okay. So then you're hanging. But if you do a full death drop, that's a half. A full is you hit, so you swing back, and then you kick your legs off, and you do kind of a gymnastic move. That's
but
a death drop.
But God always catches you because he's God.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm learning to live my life like that each day, not even just on tour, but I realize I have to do that more often, like every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. So one day in kind of prayer and thought, just praying about tour as we're doing the preparations, I felt a prompt from the Lord. I felt like I heard his voice. And he said, ask them what they need and I'll do it. And the impression that I got was whoever our hosts are, whether it's a community, a person, a couple, ask them what's on your heart. And the Lord said, I'll do it. So I went, that's cool. I got that going for me. You know, it was just such a confidence builder. And it was also a faith step to move into that. Jesus says in John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Right? That's what I'm talking about. So we're in Vancouver, Washington, our third show. Please do.
Okay. So I just wanted to share with you guys that first show where there was like a little misunderstanding, a little financial thing.
Yes.
So we just totally let it go. And we knew like, God, you're going to cover us. This is not a thing. And
pause right there.
Okay.
Yeah, pause. And let me interject because you're stay right there. This is good. See, we're trying to be conversational. This is our style.
Okay. I feel better that way.
So pausing that, before I left, I jumped out of my car and I talked to Marnie's friend's husband before I left. And I said, hey, I just wanted to check with you on something. I noticed that this didn't happen. And I was just wondering what's up. Super uncomfortable. And, you know, and I tagged on to that immediately. I said, I'm only saying this because you're my friend and I love you and I would rather have the conversation. I said, I feel like the Lord's telling me to have brave conversations. So this is brave. I love you no matter what, but this went down and I just need to know what's happening, you know? Okay, so go.
I think he just bought too much filet mignon.
I think he did. Yeah. That was one of the statements.
I'm sorry, but that's true.
Maybe I shouldn't have bought steaks.
It's kind of funny. You guys can laugh. You guys can totally laugh. That's funny to me because God is so stinking rich. Come on. We just left him like, yay. I gave him a hug. I didn't have a thought.
Yeah.
And then the Lord made up for it probably like quadruple.
Yeah, I did the math about a week later and
maybe more than quadruple.
I think the figure.
I'm like, this is nothing.
I think the figure was the Lord returned it 20 times. So what? Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yep.
I almost felt scared to look, but
it's a true story.
True story.
True story.
So our third show, we're in Vancouver, Washington, and we go to this woman's house, and she has this amazing garden. Her husband's a police officer in Portland. They've got this piece of land, probably a couple acres. It's kind of sitting up on a hill, and then the land spills out and down, and husband's got a workshop. The wife has a little chicken coop that she turned into a prayer room that's like, you know, like off the hook. And then she's got this garden that she's built. So I asked her, I said,
it was stunning.
Yeah, what's on your heart for tonight? There were some other conversations because there was a group that was sort of hosting us, but this was her house. And she said, I want my garden to be a place of healing. And I've been tending my garden to make it be that. I want people to be able to come here and experience healing. I said, cool. So you walk away and you go, wow, Lord, I guess you're going to bring healing tonight because that's what she wants, you know? So you want to talk about that night a little bit?
You keep going.
I keep going?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a good night.
Yeah.
They were all good nights.
That night, partnered in that evening, there's a prayer group in that area of women that have been faithfully praying together. And their intention with that group is they bring people in and they minister to them. So the night before, we had a chance to go and pray with them because they were a part of the hosting, which was really kind of cool to get some prep time with them. Mm-hmm. The prayer time was pretty dynamic. Mm-hmm. We worshiped to some songs on the TV for a while, you know, which was cool. Like they were bringing up songs on YouTube and we were worshiping, we were praying together.
This is the Before the Garden show.
This is their Bible study that we visited. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just a very, all I would say is spirit-led time. There's a woman there, and when the Holy Spirit moves and she feels him, she says, whoa, Jesus. Okay, so you got to get used to that. Whoa, Jesus. Whoa.
Whoa.
Whoa, Jesus.
Whoa, Jesus.
Like that. Like
whoa,
so.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
You're just praying, and like you can start
this
your prayer, right?
This is not an exaggeration.
You start your prayer, and you're like, Lord, I think that night I prayed something about Ezekiel and dry bones, and she's just like, whoa, Jesus, whoa, whoa, Jesus, you know, and grabbing onto something like she's going to fall over, right? So
we just had to let her be herself in the Lord.
Yeah.
And it was way awesome. I loved
it. Yeah, it feels a little alarming at first.
Well,
you know?
I didn't.
Right?
I didn't feel that way. I was encouraged, but anyway.
Yeah. I think by the time I left town, I was ready for it. I'm like,
whoa.
I think I'm going to get the whoa, Jesus. Like, I'm going to come back into town and was like, what happened to Paul? Whoa, Jesus. You know, it just felt so good. So so at a certain point in our prayer time with them, they prayed for us. And there was some things that they prayed about for Marnie. And there were kind of what I would say some words of knowledge, some awareness. So the Lord kind of was taking some weight off, right? Lightening the yoke. So they were seeing things in her and going, okay, you deal with this, you deal with that. You know, I feel like the Lord wants to do this, the Lord wants to do that. So we're getting blessed.
Yeah,
you know?
Some special
we're getting upgrades.
Words from heaven.
Okay, so we get some upgrades. And then
I could share with him maybe one-on-one, but I don't feel comfortable sharing because they're kind of personal.
Yeah.
But just some really fun stuff from heaven for me.
So there's one particular word that came forth, and I would call this almost like a download, upgrade, something, about Marnie. Oh. And it was about her eyes. And there was some talk about how heaven looks at her eyes, what her eyes are and her vision is, her spiritual vision is in heaven, which is really heavy, right? You're like, this is getting out there, right? We're whoa, Jesus. It fit the whoa, Jesus. It was right on par. So we walk away, really rich time, sweet people, amazing connections. First night we'd met all of them, very one at heart. And then we go to the garden concert and we start singing, start doing our thing. We open up, you know, with some worship. It's a really great turnout. There's a lot of people there. You know, the lawn's all full. And people are really entering in. That's what was really cool. So the environment was very fertile, and I think a part of that was some of the community there really just desiring to meet the Lord in that place. And we had a pause in our show because there was a baptism that night. So we got to play and have a baptism in a horse trough down.
A 10-year-old little boy wanted to get baptized.
Yeah. 10-year-old boy and a woman that came out of motocross culture because the family was involved in motocrossing and the wife had a business in motocross, and the Lord had, she discipled a lot of people. A lot of people had come to Jesus through her relationships in motocross, and one of those women got baptized. So we have a little pause in the set, and one thing I do remember is right at the beginning of the set, over on this side, like no lie, I just came up to just even play the first chord, and I saw this girl, and she just, like, something hit her, right? She just went under, and, you know, she was tears, and I could just see the Lord on her, and I just went, woo, and it kind of, like, came back and hit me. Like, I was ready to just start bawling right there, and I hadn't even played, so I kind of went, okay, composure, right? And then we went into the show. So, when we had our break, there's a grouping of ladies that we kind of started our prayer time with that we went over and started talking to people. And the first woman that we talked to came up, said, hi, how are you doing? And she said, okay. And she looked at Marnie and she said, okay, when you guys played that song, she goes, and then you shared, she said, when you shared and you looked at me, something shifted inside me. Something happened when you looked at me, right? So, right, that was the word the night before, right? Somebody's like, something happens, the Lord does something through your eyes. And it wasn't even a magical moment. It was just really a simple sharing. But the particular song that we played, it was really interesting because when we got done playing the song, there was a group of people that yelled out, play that again. I love that song. Play that again. And we're like, okay. So we play this particular song twice.
It's amazing when you just show up and you know, you follow God's voice, like what he does, you know, because it doesn't have to, it's not us.
Yeah.
And so you guys can do all that and more.
That's the intention. Right?
Yeah.
That's the intention. Stepping into it.
Yeah.
Being available, and the Lord is the one that's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to pray with that woman. She had two marriages that went under for her, and both of the men were Christians. One of them was a minister, and he had cheated on her. You know, so this is very interesting, and she was kind of our age. You know, so here we are, having been married a lot of years. I was feeling a lot of strength. I'm feeling like I got a lot of faith for this woman. Lord's going to bless her. She still has that on her heart to enjoy life with somebody, to have that type of best friend.
Yeah.
So we got to pray for her. Then the next woman in line had just come out of an abusive relationship. And this is very interesting. When she's been a Christian for years, and when she finally made the step and broke up with this abusive person, she got, like, baptized in the Holy Spirit. So it was like she got rid of the abuse, and boom, she got flooded with the gifts of the Spirit and all this stuff that she never had. And I'd never heard that before. I thought that was really cool. So we prayed for her. She had, like, a new business venture and, you know, more Jesus, whoa, Jesus, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, she was there.
So, how are we doing on time? We're doing okay.
We're going to close.
Yeah, we're getting towards our close.
We're going to close soon. There's so many stories. That was only like maybe two stops out of seven. But we have a scripture, two scriptures to share, and then we'll wrap up. You guys have been patient, and thank you for listening.
And we can expand story-wise with you guys individually if we go out and have
you
some
can
food
ask
or
us.
Something, or we could get together at our house.
We do have fun stories, so we like to share them with you.
So Mark 9:1, we're in Mark, right? Jesus says, truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste or experience death before they see that the kingdom, the rule, the realm, the reign of God has come or appeared with power. Mm-hmm. The Greek word is dunamis. Is that how we say it? Dunamis? Okay. Mm-hmm. This is the same word that's referred to in Romans 1:4 and Ephesians 1:19, the same power, the dunamis, that raised Jesus from the grave. Right? So, just dug into the definition of that power a bit. Force. Specially suited or customized power. Miraculous. Miraculous power. Miracles. Ability, but not just great ability, but mastery. There's something masterful about the power of God. Abundance. Abundant in every area to meet every need. Mighty, as in mighty deeds. Strength. Wonderful works. These are all descriptions of the power. And all of these come by the virtue and the nature of who God is. This is just what happens with this guy.
Isaiah 9:7, there's no end to his rule and reign.
The idea is perpetual, always renewing, always expanding.
Okay, so I'll close with this scripture, unless you have something else to share. I don't want to cut you off.
Okay.
Okay,
good.
Okay, Mark 4:30. Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when it's planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." Also, in Matthew, it says the kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough.
So describing that a bit more, this idea of the kingdom starting small and insignificant and then growing very large. I feel like our path has grown a lot. Our path has grown a lot in this community in the past 2 years. And our little idea of Magnify Weekend grew all the way up to the Pacific Northwest. Also, we found that this whole idea of the permeating, the yeast, right, the leaven, how it permeates the whole, every part of it, it became very apparent as we were out on the road that just the Lord was touching every part of our time. Mm-hmm. He was touching our time with our hosts because there were meals shared. There was a lot of weaving and interweaving of old relationships. There was beginnings of new ones.
There were some cool unity moments, too, where, like, a certain college group, when we were in Oregon, they had, like, a few rifts between some of the... Maybe, or not riffs, but just maybe there was something there. And we ended up praying like for an hour after our show. And it was just beautiful to see them. It was like 5 girls come together. And that just like healed my heart to see them, you know, all come together. And so that happened a couple times. And we were talking about unity earlier.
Amen.
And I just want to say I'm thankful for Brad and Allie because they're so amazing. And they love you guys so much. And thank you for allowing us to share and to have freedom and to dance if we want to in church. Or not dance.
Yeah.
Maybe just not even sing. But I just love the body of Christ because everybody is so different and like a billion colors. I like the word billion today.
Billion, bazillion.
Trillion, bazillion's the best.
I like that one.
Bazillion. I don't know, is that a number? Anyone? School?
Yes, it's a number.
Bazillion is?
Thank
you. Okay. Thank you.
So, just a couple of wrapping up points. This whole idea of being involved in the kingdom is quite a fruitful experience, right? It all comes through intimacy. It comes through letting God know us and knowing God himself. It comes through being rooted in a community that that covers you, that prays for you, that pushes you, right, to the mountain of God, pushes you there to do that thing. So as we hear in each other the things that are on our hearts, we need to push each other in those things. We need to go, okay, we've been talking about that for a while. Mm-hmm. When are you going to make a step? I love you. I'm going to be here for you. I'm going to support you. And I want to see you do it. And I may even, I may be right at your side if you need somebody there, right? Mm-hmm. So some of the themes that very naturally came out of this fertile environment that the Lord created on tour was intimacy, unity, imagination. I got up to Washington and the Lord, everybody kept saying, I think I should have done more. And I went, wow, Lord, that's interesting. And he said, yeah, their imaginations aren't big enough. Right? So there was, that was kind of cool. And as we talked to people, like, I think maybe you need to come back. Like, we didn't think big enough for this, you know? Even though we were just very content with what the Lord did. Deep roots. We came down through the redwoods on the way out of Oregon back into California. And I'm telling you, I met this tour guide and he told me about the old growth forests. And there's no comparison. When you go into that old growth forest that has never been cut down, there's something completely different about it. Right, and we know that redwoods and sequoias, they join their roots as a family, so they live as a family. So I'm in the redwoods, and I'm thinking, whoa, this is family. This is deep roots, right? Yeah. And the deep-rooted trees that have been there for a while provide the fertile environment for all the other plants and the young trees to come in. Another theme that came through was attribution, the whole idea of this is God. Right? That's a very basic step of faith, is beginning to say that this is the Lord, right? That's something that we should find ourselves doing more and more in our lives. You can't undercredit God, right? And people might get uncomfortable with that idea. God's not uncomfortable with it. He's not uncomfortable with you saying, hey, I think this was you, Lord. And he's like, oh, right? Abraham believed God, right? And God credited it to him as righteousness. The whole point is when we start putting our faith and our trust in God, that's the way we want to go. That's the direction we want to go. Marnie already talked about the death drop, this idea of surrendering, letting go. People kept saying transparent, saying, you guys are so transparent, you know? And I guess that means just that we didn't have any fronts up. We're really asking the Lord for what his agenda was. Another idea that came through was cross-pollination, that the Lord was cross-pollinating his body. Every young person that I met on that tour that I connected with, I looked at each of them and I said, when you come to Southern California, you can stay in our guest room and you can speak at our church.
But come, ask
we'll ask Brad. But after we ask Brad.
Oopsie. Oops-a-daisy.
But there was some stories out there. We met a girl that was actually one of the children that received one of the Christmas boxes through Franklin Graham. Yeah. And she was in a distant
Operation
country.
Operation Christmas. Robin, you do that.
Yeah. She was one of the kids.
She was on the commercial.
Yeah.
And she had, her story was, oh my gosh.
Her story's amazing. Anyway. She's also a worship leader, so I'm hoping that some of these people come down, you know, because I think really they need to know us and we need to know them. The idea of no agenda, meaning that the agenda is the Holy Spirit will direct, guide, he'll speak direction, be aware. So the Lord was so good, really provided for us. We got out there, and it was hard to come home. It really was. There was such a flow happening that the Lord was doing that we could have kept going. Eventually, we would have gotten homesick. Harley got homesick earlier than us. About 10 days in, she was missing her friends. But just a note for Harley, I was going to have her share this morning, and she felt kind of embarrassed. But one of the things that Harley had said, because I asked her, how do you feel about tour? And she said, I just felt like the presence of the Lord was with us all the time. And because of that, I was able to let go of things. I was missing my friends, but I was able to let go of that. I was in a different house every other night. You know, I was meeting new people.
With cats sometimes, and we're all allergic to cats. Yes. But it was okay.
Yes.
They were cute cats.
Yeah, so.
Remember that one that was like, "Ring," and he liked you.
Yes.
He wouldn't leave Paul alone, and it would walk on its hind legs.
Yeah.
It was really funny.
It was a weird cat.
Uh-huh. Very strange. I'm sorry. It's true.
That's what Harley shared, that she really felt the presence of the Lord. It helped her to just sort of roll with everything. Yeah. And she was so proud of her because, honestly, she complained zero on the whole trip, and she had to be the drummer for the trip. So usually I would want to take out a pro with me. I took the step and asked Harley to do it, you know. And
thank you for your prayers.
Yeah, I remember our last rehearsal before tour, our schedules kept mixing up, and then we started rehearsing. And she said, "I don't feel good tonight." And I said, "I'm sorry. Tonight's our last rehearsal. I feel really bad." I said, "Your friends play water polo and basketball and everything." I said, "Your coach would say, 'Harley, we need you. And honey, I'm your coach right now. I need you.'" And she's like, "Just a second." And she left, and then she came back and she was crying. I'm like, "Hey, I love you. But we got to get it right." You know, and we went through the practice, you know, and it turned out good. And at the end, she goes, "Dad, I'm sorry, you were right." You know, and that was like, I didn't even expect that. I just wanted her to make it through. But I was really proud of her, and a lot of people got a real kick out of her because she had such a great focus. And she would come in, and she would do some of the prayer time, and then she would just bounce off and be a kid. And being a kid was really funny, where we would be in the most serious of moments, and she would walk up and say the weirdest thing at that moment, you know what I mean? Like wanting something from her mom, and everybody would look at her, and we'd just all bust up laughing. And then go back to praying, you know what I mean? So it was just such a cool...
It was usually
overall.
Ice cream that she wanted. Those of you that know Harley.
Anyway.
So, we bless you guys. We bless you guys. We thank you for your friendships. We thank you. We're so honored that we could serve and be a part of this community. We literally felt like we were riding on the prayers of our friends and the elders and people that were praying for us here. Mm-hmm. And I'm only saying all this stuff because I'm expecting to see you guys do it, right? Right? That's what I'm looking for in each of you. What's the Lord got on your heart? And that could be at home, that could be away, that could be a missions trip. We know it's always at home. God's always wanting to step out. Us to step out at home, but I encourage you. The step of faith also energizes the active side of grace. So as we step, that abundant favor that God has for us comes in, and it's sort of, what I say, actualized? You know, it's engaged. So we have to make those steps to engage that grace, or we're never going to get to experience the fullness that the Lord has for us. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
Benediction. Thank you, Bronson. Bless you guys.
Please stand.
Thank you.
It's really encouraging to have a couple like you guys just sort of, you know, almost like forerunning, like, okay, cool, we can look to you and see a good example. And it's good to have that. You know, it's encouraging. So thank you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and give you peace. May you learn to press into him. May you know his love. And all God's people said, amen. Go in grace.